Are you wondering how to get started with ads in a way that doesn't feel intimidating? Want to know a secretly used ad strategy that basically lets you build your email list for free and fast? Interested in hearing what doesn't work when it comes to paid ads? We are covering all of that and more on today's episode of the Passive Project Podcast. Beth Ann from Brilliant Business Moms is joining us on the show. After starting her first business as an Etsy shop owner, she became a podcast host and then eventually started teaching other mom entrepreneurs business strategy. She's now a bona fide Facebook ads and launching expert and helps her students grow and scale their sales using ads. Tune in to today's show where we talk about Beth Ann's own business story, how she got started with ads, her favorite trick for using ads as a free list builder, and the ad strategies that completely flopped for her. Hands down, one of my favorite interviews we have done on the show before. Don't miss it. You're listening to the Passive Project Podcast, where we talk about how to build your online business to make more income, more impact, and give you more freedom in your life. I'm Gemma Bonham Carter, business strategist, mom of two, lover of passive income, automation, and coffee. Welcome to the podcast. All right, everybody. I am so excited to have Beth Ann here today. Welcome, Beth Ann, to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Jenna. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah. So Beth Ann and I, we have been in a joint program together. So we kind of got to know each other at a few events and just within that group coaching program. But I have been following Beth Ann for a long time. I purchased one of her, I purchased a course from her and an ebook from her way back in the day when I was just starting out. She has been somebody that I admired for a long time. So Beth Ann, I'm so excited to have you on the show. And so do you want to just like introduce yourself and a little quick synopsis of like who you serve and what you do just for folks who might not know you?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm Beth Ann Schwamberger. I'm the founder of BrilliantBusinessMoms.com. I primarily serve moms who are trying to grow a business in the margins. So I help both physical product sellers and digital product sellers. And it's typically the moms with lower price products versus kind of the bigger all-encompassing course type of business owner.
Right. So how did you get started with Brilliant Business Moms? Because I know you have like a really fun, journey that has like led you to here. So can you speak to that a little bit?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So Brilliant Business Moms really started as a way to solve my own problem. So my sister and I started it as a podcast together, and this was back in 2014. At the time, we had an Etsy shop we were running together, and we had a kids activities, like outdoor activities blog that we were running together, and we were making sales in our shop, doing decently well for like a newer Etsy shop, but we wanted to do so much more, and we were definitely struggling with our mom blog. We felt like, how are these other mommy bloggers doing this? Like, this is not... nothing is happening there. And so, you know, I'm hunting around online going, I know other moms are doing this. Like, they're making part-time and even full-time income from their online businesses. So like, how are the moms who are hustling at nap time and bedtime? Like, how are they making this happen? So of course I'm at the time voraciously listening to business podcasts, trying to get every bit of advice I can to help us grow our businesses. And I realized that it was really, really hard to find a podcast that featured moms.
Totally.
In the margins. Yeah. And it's a different thing, right? To be a margin building business owner. It really is. And so I came to Sarah and my sister, and I said, Sarah, wouldn't it be so great to pick the brains of these other moms who are already doing what we want to do? And we should just start a podcast, because I'm sure there's other moms out there just like us that want to pick their brains. And so we'll solve our own problem and help a lot of other moms in the process. And so
right.
We went for it. And back in 2014, I mean, there were not all these other mom business podcasts. We
no.
were really one of the first. And so the podcast took off pretty quickly, and we pretty quickly had like this loyal following. So that was fun.
And that really then started like you down the path of creating courses and teaching on different subjects, right? And did you, because I don't think you're still partnered with your sister. So like at what point did things kind of change there?
Right. So in, I think it was the beginning of 2016, my sister Sarah decided that she wanted to walk away from Brilliant Business Moms. And she has her own business. It's called Small Business Sarah. So she does bookkeeping for small business owners. She's actually a CPA by trade. So
awesome.
She's doing great. Yeah, with that. It was more just realizing that we have very different personalities and styles. And I can be a lot for people to handle. With my ideas, and like I tend to go like bigger and
right,
you know, I'm not everyone's flavor, and so yeah, so that was totally fine. We still have a great relationship, and everything worked out better for us to not be in business together. So yeah, so that when that happened, I just started digging into teaching what I knew. So I'm just that person who will dive into a new marketing strategy or a new platform and test everything I can and kind of be a detective, if you will. Sounds a little bit cheesy. But then I take what's worked from what I've done and then usually turn that into a course to help other business owners.
Yeah, I love that. I've sort of done the same thing over time, right? So, okay, I know one of the things that you, like in doing all of that, you have sort of found yourself in this place where you have really become like known for amazing Facebook ads. So one of the very first courses I purchased was your Facebook ads course way back in the day, and you're still teaching on Facebook ads today. And I like really admire your approach to ads. So like, I think it's really one of your special sauces. Like everybody has different things, and that is definitely one of yours. So what was kind of the beginning of using Facebook ads for you and Brilliant Business Moms?
Yes. So, sorry, that was a weird, yeah. I was like, should I say yeah or yes or something? Anyway. So again, let me back up. I started playing with ads like in 2014, but at that point, my sister is much better at managing money than me. So she's like, Bethann, we can't like spend that much. Cause at first we didn't even have products that we were selling for our new brand. So we weren't doing that. I did run ads though to our Etsy shop. Like I was testing that and I went back and looked at those. I'm like, man, some of these were good. It's just like some of the structure and optimization pieces I didn't know yet. But I really started ads in earnest in 2016, the beginning of 2016. And that was based off of watching a lot of my online business role models, watching like what they were doing. You know, I looked at people like Hillary Rushford with her awesome Instagram webinar and that led into that course. And of course, Amy Porterfield and so many other business women that I admired who sold online courses, they were doing it with webinars and they were filling up their webinars by using ads. And so I said, I'm going to figure this out. Like at the time I couldn't afford someone else's fancy ads course. Mm-hmm. And I also just, I don't know, knowing my personality, I like being a detective and I like kind of charting my own path and not constraining myself to a box that maybe someone else has taught me.
Totally.
Which is, yeah, has pros and cons. So I dug in and I was able to get my cold traffic ads to my webinars to convert. And so I just, in 2016, I massively scaled up my business that way, added in a physical planner, was testing and working with ads for that and a Kickstarter and, I cannot get enough of testing and experimenting. Like I will set aside budget for that every single month because there's always something new that you can try and there's always new insights that you can learn from that. So
And so you tested them both for, I just want to like pull out what you said. You tested them both for your digital products where you were using, say, a webinar to sell a course, and for your physical planner, which you launched once a year.
And exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So like, that's really neat, because then it really does mean that like you've tried so many different kinds of strategies using the paid ad sort of platform, right? So I know one thing that that you use, because you and I have talked about it, and it's something that I started using in my business after we chatted about it, and I love doing it, and that is using tripwires. So you are like the queen of tripwires. So how can you talk our audience through how you use tripwires in your ad strategy? And I know in particular as like a list building strategy.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so I love talking about this because I feel like it's the missing link for a lot of business owners who feel like they haven't been able to get ads to work well for them. Because let me start by saying that I have noticed over the last couple of years that it is getting more and more difficult to show a webinar ad to cold traffic and to make an upfront profit off of that. Or, you know, even if I'm giving myself a 2-week window or whatever it is that I'm promoting to that new webinar setup, it's hard. It's
really I feel hard. Like the days of being able to do that with ease are over. Like, there's too much competition in the marketplace now, and you need to come in with a slightly different strategy and be doing, people are going to assume that you're a scam, right? When they're new to you, no matter what you do, like that's the lens that I think often people have when they see an ad. And so there's more warming that needs to happen. You need to build that trust in a bigger way.
Yeah, exactly. And I think another part of that too is just people's time. You know, so sometimes it's a big ask to tell someone, I've got this great big 1-hour class for you. Even if you know they're going to learn a lot, that's a big commitment from them. So again, that's hard when they've just discovered you, you know, in their newsfeed or whatever. So that's getting more and more difficult. Interestingly enough, I was just analyzing like my webinar stats from different launches today for a lesson I'm teaching my students on. And I realized, looking back even 2 years ago, my cold webinar registrants during a live launch, I mean, the profits were not there.
Like, right.
Whereas they absolutely amazing profits for my warm audiences that I would bring onto a webinar. So anyways, that brings us to the tripwire model, which is a workaround for getting those new leads on your list. Cause you know, we can't just give up on cold traffic. Like, we've got to grow.
That's
and that
right.
means getting in front of new people. So the solution is to offer a really valuable freebie, and that can look a ton of different ways. It can still be, and I've seen this work for people, like a free video training, but sometimes you make it shorter and sweeter, and sometimes you don't put it behind a sign up page gateway, for example.
Right.
So that's one way to do it, or any other freebie. I mean, I've done, you know, a free marketing plan, free printables. I'm just about to launch free templates for Canva and PicMonkey. So there's so many ways to do a great freebie, but you just want that freebie to be highly related to the product that you'll ultimately be offering to these new subscribers. And the first step is, as soon as they opt in, you want to, of course, confirm that their freebie's on its way, but then offer them a tripwire. So a tripwire is super fast, limited time deal on, you know, one of your products. So I know, and to me, there's really two approaches there, because I work with a lot of students who, like, they don't have a really expensive program or course that they're offering. So their tripwire is actually like their main product, and they can make that work as well. It's just that for typically about an hour after someone opts in, they just can get it for a steal.
Right.
And so it can really encourage that new person to you to take action, to go from subscriber to customer, and you didn't ask as much from them. You're not asking for hundreds of dollars or $1,000 or more. It's a much more affordable offer.
So talk about that for a second. What is the average price point of a tripwire, would you say?
Good question. So this is a little bit different than what you might see on someone's website if they're just getting like organic traffic from Google or Pinterest, because all the time in those cases, I'll see people offering like a $7 tripwire. I don't do $7 tripwires. Mine are typically $27 to $57 in okay. price. I do have some students who aren't, well, I have lots of students who aren't in the business niche. And so some of them have profitable tripwires priced at like $15 to $27. So you can go as low as $15, and just depending on your niche and what's happening, you could make that work.
Okay. And one of the key things that you said was making sure that the tripwire is incredibly related to the freebie. Because I think sometimes this might be a mistake that people make, is they try and like jam two things together that don't necessarily make sense. So what you really want to do is make that tripwire product be like the logical next step that's going to save that person time, frustration, money, whatever, in implementing the freebie, right? Or yeah, continuing on the journey of that particular topic or pain point or whatever.
Right. Absolutely. And I'll actually give you one example where at first glance, these two things might seem closely related, but they did not work together. And that was, I used to offer a free holiday planner, like a printable planner, and let's be intentional for the holidays and all that good stuff that you would think the people that care about that are going to want to buy my Brilliant Life planner. So I would give them like a special offer for the planner on the back end. Even that was not closely related enough, because the planner itself is, it's about an intentional life. It's about goal setting. It's so much more time management than just this like holiday planner freebie over here. So even that wasn't closely enough related, versus if I just do like free planning printables that have exactly to do with goal setting and
right.
intentional with your time and all that, then that works to then sell my planner.
Right. Super interesting. For your digital products, can you think of any examples off the top of your head of like things that have worked really well as tripwires and the corresponding freebie?
Yes. So one of my best ones, which it still is surprising to me, and I think it's getting a little outdated now, but it's worked for a long time, is like free social media planning printables. They're just literally track what's happening on Instagram and Facebook and even like Pinterest, even though Pinterest isn't really social media, but just track what's happening, track your stats, all of that basically. And then the tripwire is my How to Be Brilliant on Social Media class, which is, it's really a course about getting clear on your unique brand personality, the kind of content that you can share on social media that will connect with your audience, how to get more engagement with your audience, all of that. And so that worked really, really well for a long time, but I'm slowly,
retiring that one.
Yeah. Retiring that and instead offering templates and some different things.
Right. That's a great example though. It's nice to like have it illustrated. And then just to kind of finish our conversation about tripwires before we move on to the next thing, the intention then, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that we are using tripwires to basically the money that we're making from the sales of the tripwires is to offset the cost of our ads. And sure, if there's profit there at the end of the day, great. But if we can just get it to break even, then basically it's an exercise in free list building, right? If we get them to break even, we're just growing our list in a really big and fast way by using these tripwires and making our money by selling our bigger, higher ticket offer to those people who are now on our email list. We're now warming them up. We might be putting them through a welcome sequence and then inviting them to a webinar or whatever that looks like down the line.
Yes, exactly. Although I will say, I try to be pretty strict with myself. Like my goal is still a 2x return on ad spend up front for like ice cold traffic. That's always like what I'm shooting towards. But I mean, yes, if I'm getting a 1.5x return or 1.25x and I'm massively building up my list full of targeted subscribers, then yes, I'm still happy with that, right? And it's so interesting because and I'm sure you see the same thing, when you look back at your launches and what worked, it's for those live launches, it's investing in your warm audience that works. It's going deep with them. And so if you can just, in between those launches, build up your audience in a huge way, then it just makes launching so much easier. It just, yeah.
So for somebody who's getting started with ads then, probably, and in particular, people who sell digital products, because that's who I talk to, is people who sell courses and memberships, that kind of thing. Probably what they want to then get started with are freebie tripwire type ads, right? And then later on, they can layer in ads around their live launches. Say they do 2 or 3 live launches a year, they can layer in ads specifically at those times. Is that kind of what you recommend?
Yes, exactly. I think start with that freebie to tripwire offer. And sure, you can show that to your warm audience. Like, yes, get your website visitors and engagers on social media. Get them on your email list for sure. But be targeting cold traffic. I mean, that's your chance to really grow and expand. And I'm just always blown away at the ROI on launches for my warm audiences. I mean, it's like anywhere from like a 5 to, gosh, I'm trying to think. I looked at a ad set today that's like a 40x ROAS, you know?
Amazing. So like,
you just want to build that audience up in between.
And how often are you switching or trying new targeting for that cold, for those cold people? Like, are you in there every day changing things up, or what does that look like?
Such a good question. So I will be honest and say I've been super, in my opinion, super lazy with my ads the last couple months since I've had like a new program I was basically creating for students. But yeah, so in that case, I might try new audiences like every 3 weeks.
Okay.
New campaign and try some new stuff. But then I just have some like tried and true audiences that are, and campaigns are just running in the background that need very little management from me. So
amazing.
But knowing that, I really could be making a whole lot more off of those ads if I was, you know, spending more time on them.
Well, there are seasons, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So now tell me about some ad strategies that have flopped. Like, I love to hear like what doesn't work. So what, are there any things that you can tell our listeners to kind of avoid when it comes to running ads?
Yes.
Good. Oh, let's get juicy. Like,
people need to share what's not working more, because that's just as helpful, you know, to know.
100%.
Okay, so a few things. Now, this first one, I wouldn't necessarily say that this doesn't work, but what I want to tell your audience is, you know how everyone is saying like videos where it's at, and video, video, video. Well, here's the thing. I would say for myself and like 75% of my ad students, static images perform the best for us. So keep that in mind. Like, it, I think it's amazing to have video ads. I think you absolutely want those to be in the mix, but just don't feel like because you don't have some fancy program or a fancy editor working with you that like, oh, well, geez, I can't run ads because there's no way this static image is going to perform, because
right.
I think you would be surprised at how well those static images can do.
And do you find that the static images also work on Instagram, or are they mostly coming from Facebook?
No, they work on Instagram too. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, same thing. And, you know, each audience is different. I have one student in particular where her video ad is hands down the best one for her. Now, she's a physical product seller, and so her video kind of is featuring different items that mm-hmm. she sells. But I would say for my freebie to tripwire digital product students, for almost all of them, the static image performs better. It's just like, here's what it is, right? Here's this freebie. Here's what I'm giving you. It's super, because people can just look at it in a split second and know exactly what's going on, and you know, whether they want it or they don't.
Right. Okay. I love that. Any other ad strategies we want to avoid?
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. So another one, I hear this all the time, and I am sure there are people out there where this has worked for them, but I've never met them yet. So you have to let me know if this strategy has ever worked for you. But the people that say to promote your, to turn your Facebook Lives into an ad.
I have heard that.
Yeah, right. Don't you feel like people are always saying that? Because I think what they're trying to do is encourage like a newbie that, oh, like if video's where it's at. And so if you want to do video, just like turn your live into an ad. Okay. It could maybe work if all you're trying to do is get video views and warm people up and like let them get to know you on that Facebook Live. Okay, so great. I think that could potentially be an okay strategy if you've been running ads for a bit and you know that's what you want to do. You want
right.
to interact with people, introduce people to you through that video. But for all the rest of us, especially, you know, I think both of us have audience members who are maybe bootstrapping a bit more. And so every ad dollar you spend, like you have to really make it count. And mm-hmm. so if you're really going to make it count, do the freebie to Tripwire and just do straight up. And that long Facebook Live is just, it's not going to cut it.
When you think of yourself as a user on Facebook, like if I'm shown an ad that somebody's Facebook Live that I don't recognize at all, I'm not watching that.
Yeah.
I think the time when they might work, and I haven't actually done this myself, so I can't speak from experience, but I think the time when they could work is if you're just in a live launch time and you're doing like a 3-part or 4-part Facebook Live series that like leads up to your webinar or something like that, and you're just promoting, you're boosting those Facebook Lives to your warm audience. Like this isn't to cold. This is just to warm people, to really get them ready and prepared mentally to make the purchase decision. That's where I could see them working.
Exactly. I think you are spot on. And I will say I've used a pre-launch strategy in the past where it wasn't Facebook Lives, but it was they started as IGTV videos. And then I took those, promoted them on Instagram to my warm audiences, promoted them on Facebook as well to my warm audiences. And then it's really fun to see that actually when it was live launch time and I'm getting the webinar signups and then I'm sending people to my sales page and all that, those video viewer audiences got me an amazing ROAS, right? So because they, like, just like you said, like they are ready. They now understand like what your product is, who it's for, how it helps them. You've debunked myths, like all of that good stuff happened in your pre-launch content and you made sure they saw it. And then, when your cart opens, they're ready to buy. But yeah, I've never seen Facebook Lives work to cold.
No, me neither. And for everybody listening, when Bethann says ROAS, it's return on ad spend, which like is in your regular vocabulary, maybe not in everybody's.
Thank you. Yes. I'm so glad you said that. I'm a bit of a data nerd sometimes. So.
Okay. That was amazing. So let's just switch gears for a second, because one of the things I have always admired about you, and it's that very first ebook that I bought from you was Time Management Mama, is your productivity and staying really clear on your, I feel like you're really clear on your priorities and you don't get distracted by, you know, shiny objects and that kind of thing. So do you have any advice for like the entrepreneurs who are listening, especially our mom listeners who might be struggling with like feeling overwhelmed and just lacking that kind of clarity?
Yes. Okay. First piece of advice, anytime you find yourself saying to yourself, oh, I have to do this, like I have to get that blog post out, or like I have to do this podcast or whatever it is, examine that. Examine why you feel you have to, because this is your business and you get to set the rules. And that is one thing. I mean, listen, I'll be the first to say that I'm not super consistent with my content. I will do podcasts for a while and then I take a big break because, you know, my time is limited. So, but for me, I don't feel that pressure to follow the rules of I have to do all these things every single week, otherwise I'm a failure. Instead, what I tend to focus on is what products am I selling and who am I serving, right? And so if I only have time to serve like one group of people, I always make sure that it's my paying customers, which maybe sounds bad. I mean, I know obviously free content and relationship building is awesome. Like, yes, we should all be doing it. But if your time is limited, make sure you don't neglect the people that have already said yes and, you know, are giving you their hard-earned money. So,
and I think that's an easy trap to fall into where we feel like, okay, we've made the sale and now we need to still be working all the time on the marketing and on the like external piece to bring in new sales. But we forget about the people who actually have come and like they said, yes, they handed over their credit card and we, you know, forget to serve them to the best of our abilities. And yeah, that is where I think like if we could all just focus on serving our people the best, you're going to end up with amazing testimonials. And ultimately, your everything in terms of selling is going to become easier because you become somebody who's extremely like well-liked and trusted and referred, right?
Exactly. Like as much as I love Facebook ads and marketing and all that, it's like word of mouth marketing is amazing. I mean, I have so many students who have told me, my friend recommended you to me, or, you know, all sorts of personal recommendations like that. So
yeah, which come with so much more built-in trust. It's why I love using partnerships as a, and collaborations as a way to build my email list, because when somebody else refers me to their audience, instantly there's a built-in level of trust where like ads are great, but they're coming in maybe with like, you know, unsure of whether you might be like kind of scammy. Whereas if somebody comes into your email list based off of a recommendation, whether that was like a lead magnet swap or a podcast interview or whatever, like anybody, for instance, after this episode who signs up for Beth Ann's, you know, lead magnet at the end of this episode and then goes and follows you, well, they're probably going to have a whole bunch more trust because they already trust me. And inherently that like follows through to the recommendation. So yeah,
right.
Slight tangent, but I feel passionately about that too.
No, I love that. And I know we did a lead magnet swap, and honestly, I was so blown away at like, I think my audience responded great to yours and yours responded great to mine. And I'm like, whoa.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. That's actually, so based on my experience this last year of using partnerships like that, which can be so like not a big deal to set up. Like it, the pitching does not have to take so much time or be too complicated or scary or whatever. It was the whole purpose behind actually me creating this brand new course called Build Your List Bootcamp, which is all about list building, but using collaborations to get there. So I'm really excited about that.
Love it. Yeah.
So let's talk about for a sec before we wrap up, let's just talk about pivoting, because I know you have pivoted like quite a few times over the years. You're laughing. You've sold different kinds of courses. You've like retired certain things, introduced new stuff. Excuse me. And I know like I definitely have too. 2019 has been a whole year of pivoting for like Gemma Bonham Carter. So I totally get it. But did you ever like get nervous about that pivoting? And you know, how did you know when it was like time to make a change? Because I think a lot of people can have that feeling and they get really scared about making a move.
Right. Oh boy. How to sum this up. Okay. Here's what I will say about pivoting. When I finally realized that I could legitimately set all the rules for my business, everything changed.
Right.
Because, so one of the big pivots that I made is I taught Facebook ads for a couple of years, and then I got completely overwhelmed and burned out with, I think it was my fall of 2017 cohort that I brought in. And I realized, you know, that onus was on me. I had not marketed the right way. I had not made sure the right students were in that course. So that's why I was burned out, because I had all sorts of people in there that weren't really the right fit for the way I teach Facebook ads and the what I'm most skilled at with Facebook ads. So for whatever reason, I just decided like that was so overwhelming and so stressful. So I'm just like, I'm done. I'm just not going to teach Facebook ads anymore. And then, you know, fast forward a few years and I realize I still really love Facebook ads. And I see this need in the marketplace, especially for people selling a smaller price product. It just seems like there's less help out there for those folks running Facebook ads. And so I saw the need and said, wait a second, like why, this doesn't need to be overwhelming. I can choose that. So here are some of the things I'm doing that are like totally weird and not what any expert would tell you to do. My program is application only, even though it's not like this huge mastermind, it's not super crazy expensive, but it's application only so that I can make sure only the people I really feel are ready and that I can really help are in that program.
Right.
Because I know you feel the same way of like, I don't want to take someone's money that I don't feel I can get them really amazing results, mm-hmm. you know? So that was number one, even though, yes, it takes time, but I'm learning that process of reviewing those applications and getting people in. And then I'm teaching the lessons live each week, which was another thing. Instead of letting people just, if I asked my students, I'm sure they'd all just want access to all the lessons right away. But then what happens is they try to jump in and create a campaign and they've missed all these steps. And so then, of course, things don't work. So right. I kind of had to be the instructor to say, like, no, this is, you need this. I know you don't want all these lessons before you set your campaign live, but you need them. So I teach them live. And then just having the coaching calls for them to ask questions. And I basically tell people, I'll like tag people in the group, like, hey, how's your campaign going? Like, show me the stats, because I don't want people running a campaign for weeks and weeks and then being like, I spent, you know, $500 and got no sales. And I'm like,
where were you 3 weeks ago giving us your number so we could troubleshoot? Totally.
Exactly. So I just realized, like, I don't have to run any of my programs or products the way someone else does. And so once I realized, like, I'm going to do it, it's my way or the highway. And so now it's fun and it's great. And yeah, so I don't know if that quite answers your question about pivoting, but I would just say, you know what? Yes, it is scary. It's scary to pivot, especially when you feel like you're doing something that's kind of weird, but just have the confidence that you know what's best for you and your family and your life, and you also know what's best for your customers. And so if you can combine those two things together, like, don't be afraid to pivot when you're coming from that place of knowing that both of those needs are going to be met in a big way.
Yeah. And I think, like, listening to your intuition on that, it can be scary to let go of things that maybe in the past have been profitable for you. I know this year, like, that's been my experience, is I've let go of a few things that made me tons of money, but they didn't feel in alignment anymore. And I can't be scared about, like, grasping onto things that aren't necessarily where my heart is anymore. And instead just, like, walk confidently into the next thing, knowing that I will get there again, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that mindset too of, you've done this before, right? Like, you know how to build something and sell it and serve your people. And so just having that confidence in yourself that, like, I can do this. It doesn't matter, like, how I pivot. I'm going to be able to figure it out just like I have in the past.
Yeah. Love that. Okay. So tell folks kind of like what's in store for Brilliant Business Moms over the next year. And then also, where is the best place for them to find you and connect with you?
Great. So what's in store is continuing to run my Facebook ads intensive. So I'll open up another round in January, might have a summer round depending on interest as well. So really digging deep with those students. And then continuing to run my smaller price freebie to tripwire offers. I have some new freebie to tripwires in the works, you know, to help a newer business owner to get started.
Fun.
That's really where it's at for me for this next year. Nothing too crazy. And best place to find me, brilliantbusinessmoms.com. And if you head to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/templates, I have some free Canva and PicMonkey, they're social media templates. You can actually use them for your ads too. They look
good. Ooh, okay. Amazing. I love that. So we'll make sure to link up to that in the show notes, but it's brilliantbusinessmoms.com/templates. Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Bethann, it was such a pleasure to have you on the show, and I always love chatting with you, and I'm sure that everybody loved listening to this episode. So if you did enjoy this episode, snap a picture of you listening, pop it up on Instagram stories, tag me, tag Bethann. Bethann, are you at Brilliant Business Moms?
It's actually Brilliant Biz Mom.
Okay, brilliant biz, B-I-Z or Z if you're American, mom, M-O-M, right?
Yes, that's
okay,
right.
We'll make sure that that's in the show notes. But if you're listening right now and you just want to go do it right ahead, that's where you can find us. Tag us so we can connect with you and share it with our audiences. And we love to hear from everybody who's listening. Thank you so much, Beth Ann, for being on the show.
Thank you. This is so much fun.
Everyone tells you to grow your email list, that it's your ticket to profitability as an online business owner. And they're right. But what they forgot to tell you was that unless you're consistently reaching out with valuable and relatable content, your subscribers are going to forget all about you and ignore those sales emails when you do send them. And that's why I created 52 prompts. With just 20 minutes a week and my 52 newsletter prompts, you can turn your subscribers into super fans with weekly emails that are entertaining, engaging, and get them ready to buy when the time comes. No more looking at a blank screen, not knowing what to write in your weekly email. I have given you a prompt for every single week for the entire year. Grab 52 prompts and a bunch of freebie bonuses over at GemmaBonhamCarter.com/52 prompts.